The great Jason Peter is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We love hearing from you. Joining us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And so, Jason, I know that on many different levels you can identify with perhaps some of the struggles that Josh Gordon has gone through. You've been there yourself, have overcome addiction, in fact, recounted your life story in your New York Times bestseller, Hero of the Underground, about, what, 5-6 years ago. So what kind of advice would you, you give to Josh? I mean, how do you pull yourself, get to the end of yourself to pull yourself up out of that really rock bottom and that pit that he is in right now?
Yeah. Like I said, he's got to wake up and he's got to say that I want to continue to play football and this is what I have to do in order to do that. Now, I don't know the extent of everything Josh Gordon is putting into his body. If it's alcohol and marijuana, I don't know if it goes beyond that. Let's just say it's marijuana. Well, there are a lot of people that say that's just a decision he has to make. There's not going to be a major, withdrawal coming off of that physically. He's not going to have, he's not going to be curled up in the corner of his bedroom for 3 weeks, trying to kick that habit. But he's going to have to face, the little voice in his head saying, come on, man, just one time. Just let's light up one time. Or, certainly drinking is different. That's something that has to be monitored coming off. But he needs professional help. The Michael Irvins, the Chris Carters, that's great and all. That's fine and dandy. And, they kind of be your cheerleader there or give you some of their life experiences, but he needs somebody who can figure out why he's doing it. If there is some sort of issue, deep-seated issue that maybe is unresolved, somebody who can just look at him as just another patient and, dissect kind of the way that he's lived his life and how he's gotten to this point. And but it's a group effort for him. It's not, although it is just about him, it's going to take kind of the people around you, the family that we talked
mm-hmm.
about,
support system,
it's the Browns, mm-hmm. the teammates, his immediate family. You got to have a good core group of people around you, because there's, at least with myself, ultimately I had to make the decision to get off of drugs, but I couldn't have done it without the immediate family and the people that were surrounded me.
Hey, we are so glad you're joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Love hearing from you at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. Each and every week on our program, we go one-on-one with the great Jason Peter, of course, played in the NFL and at the University of Nebraska. And I guess, Jason, for many of us, it is difficult to understand when an athlete has, such incredible success. You yourself, you had an outstanding career at Nebraska and, of course, in the NFL. You're living the dream. You've got money, fame, glory. And, in your journey, you almost lost your life to drugs. How did your life get out? How do you get off track like that and lose perspective of what's important?
Yeah, everybody's different. But for me, it was a combination of this physical pain that I was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
I went into the NFL and had never had to go under, the surgical knife once. My entire athletic career, and then all of a sudden, I was having two major surgeries every year, and part of that recovery is, the pain pills, and you even go back before that is you get down there as a rookie, and for me it was 5-6 games into the season where them, my shoulders were basically, I'd torn rotator cuffs and labrums and everything else, and the shoulders, are popping out of the socket, and you know, you're not going to be that first round guy, at least in my mind. I'm not going to be that first round guy who comes in and plays, you know, five games and then he's on the shelf for, you know, the remainder of the season. So you do what you need to do in order to get by. You know, there's a tough guy mentality in NFL locker rooms, and especially when you're a young guy and trying to prove to the coaches that you're worthy of playing time, or you're worthy of being a starter, you're worthy of being that first round draft pick. You do whatever you need to do, and that's what I did. I mean, that's when, you know, the pill abuse started, because it became something where, you know, it was taking two pills after a game for recovery, to then, you know, taking two pills to practice, and two pills so that you could sleep at night, and then, you know, two pills to get you going in the morning. I mean, it's just a real slippery slope, at least it was for me. And then when you combine that with having money and living on my own, you know, born and raised in New Jersey, and all of my family and everybody was up there, and mm-hmm. certainly, you know, people came down to see me, but I was living on my own, and also, you know, there was part where it was like, okay, I worked so hard in college, and I got to this point, and now I'm in the NFL, and you know, I'm getting invited to all these, you know, VIP sort of parties and everything, and you jump at that opportunity, you know, as a young kid. And I know for me, I feel like I was raised in a pretty good environment, you know, with my family, and you know, we weren't perfect by any means. I think every family has some issues, but, you know, it was the so-called, you know, white picket fence sort of deal. You know, my mom and dad are still married, had brothers, sister. You know, I never starved for anything, or never didn't have a pair of shoes or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught me the difference between right and wrong, and still, you know, it kind of, I ventured down this path, you know, and I walked that line long enough until eventually I just kind of fell off. But you could imagine when kids are faced with that and don't have that type of support that I had, it's something that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
Well, you know, and I remember when I went through your book several years ago, I remember the one thing that your father said to you, just in real, just, you know, just desperation, he just said to you, why can't you just stop? I mean, because it escalated and it just got so bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my father was an immigrant, you know, from Germany, came over here with, you know, when he was 25 years old, and it was a different world, obviously, that he was raised in, as opposed to what he was raising me in. And, you know, things maybe in his eyes were more black and white, and you know, there wasn't as much, I think, color as we see now, but ultimately, I think for so long I was trying to live in that world of color, where, you know, it's not necessarily black and white, and there's a lot of gray areas and this and that, but ultimately, at the end of the day, that kind of black and white thinking was a big, big part of why I ultimately stopped, because it was a black and white question. Why can't you just stop? And, you know, I just kind of thought about that, and it's just like, that's what it comes down to. It just comes down to me wanting to make that decision to get off of drugs. And, you know, no matter, you know, how much help you get, or you know, how long you're in a treatment center, and certainly, you know, for some people they need, you know, more help than others. But at the end of the day, eventually you're not going to live in a treatment center for the rest of your life, or you're not going to have, you know, 24-hour, you know, help around the clock trying to keep you off of drugs. Eventually, you're going to be on your own, and you're going to have to make that decision. And that's just kind of the way that I looked at it. Was, you know, I'm the one who got myself into this problem, this predicament. I'm the one who's going to have to get myself out.
So, Jason, when you were in the NFL, though, who did you surround yourself with? I mean, how important is it, you know, choosing your traveling companions wisely? I mean, obviously, the Cleveland Browns are telling Johnny Manziel you need to tone it down in many different ways, many different levels. He certainly needs to be perhaps a little bit more selective with who he's surrounding himself with. So he doesn't end up like...
I couldn't even imagine nowadays, because everybody is accessible, you know? I mean, I would like to think that if I was playing, you know, and I think back to when we were here at Nebraska in the NFL, we didn't want anybody to know what we were doing. I think that was the difference. Like, we didn't want, you know, to tell everybody that we were at, you know, this party or this nightclub or this is where we're going to be, because we kind of liked our privacy. And now it's a different game. You know, everybody's on Twitter and social media and communicating with fans and you know, answering your critics and this and that. And I would have been really bad, I think, if Twitter was around back then.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh. Because I just, you know, for as much as I didn't like to publicize what we were doing, I also didn't like to hear, you know, people critiquing me as well, because I was always kind of one of those, well, you never had a jock strap on in your life, so who are you to critique me?
You'd be firing it off, huh?
Yeah, it just would not have went over very well, but fortunately, it wasn't around back then.
We always love talking with Jason Peter each and every week at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And Jason, next week, we will definitely get into the NFL discussion deal that gets the okay from the judge. So we definitely want to get your insight on that as well. Okay, Jason, thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Much more straight ahead at YSR.